Please turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Have you ever wanted something from God and it just didn't seem like it was happening? And everybody says, yep, that's me. I think we've all been there. Well, we're going to take a look at a story in Scripture and learn from this story when it comes to us receiving from God. I want to say this ahead of time at the risk of getting, you know, chastised. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that God is going to give you everything that you ask for. In fact, hear me now. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean God's going to give you everything He's promised you. And you say, well, now, wait a minute, that sounds like a contradiction. All right, let me ask you a question. Has God promised all of humanity salvation? Has He? That's not a trick question.
Yeah.
Sure He has. So then, how come all of humanity isn't saved? Follow what I'm saying? So He made the promise, but if we don't act on the promise, then guess what? We don't see the promise manifested in our lives. Acting on the promise, let's talk about the salvation for a moment. Acting on that promise is not simply a matter of calling out to Jesus. You say, well, once again, Brother Martin, you're contradicting Scripture. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. With the heart, man believeth, and with the mouth, confession is made. See that?
Yeah.
So therefore, just because somebody cries out and calls on Jesus, it doesn't mean they're born again. Not at all. This is very, I don't want to say common, but you can notice it more in times of crisis. Especially, well, any time of crisis, when people get panicky. And I've seen this in funerals. You know, a very close friend, family member dies. Now all of a sudden people get religious. And, you know, they just want some peace to comfort them through the time of loss. So, if they think praying some kind of a prayer and calling on Jesus is the answer, well, then maybe they'll do it. But it doesn't mean they're born again. Because see, if you don't believe you need to be born again, you can call on Jesus all day long. Jesus, help me. He says, I'd be more than happy to. But see, when it comes to us as believers, sometimes we get this idea that, well, I'm born again, and I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can pray in tongues, and I do pray in tongues. And I believe the Word of God is true. I don't believe anything in the Bible is a lie. And not only that, but I go to a good church. So, therefore, I qualify. Well, qualified started when you got born again. You understand that? Because the moment you got born again, you're born into the family of God. You're His child. So you're qualified to be in the family, to be in the household, and to roam through the household, whatever's in each room, you know, grab it. I mean, how many times as a kid, when you were a kid, how many times did you just go in and climb up on mom and dad's bed and lay there and go to sleep? You know what I'm saying? That's not your room. That's not your bed. Who do you think you are? Just to go in there and lay down and go to sleep on mom and dad's bed. You little twerp. What's your problem? And you know what? Mom and Dad, when they walk in, they don't grab you and, you know, give you a flying drop kick or something and send you across the room. They stand there and they look at you. Oh, how sweet. Look at that. Get the camera. Click, click. So just because we're born again, spirit-filled, go to the right church, blah, 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 doesn't mean that we're just going to receive. And you know what that is? When you believe that, well, I mean, look at me, born again, washed in the blood, sins washed away. I have the life and nature of God. I'm His child. And I'm, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost. I do the praying in tongues thing, etc., etc., etc. And we feel like, well, I should just get. I mean, I'm praying in accordance with His will, so what's the deal here? You know what that is? That is a sense of entitlement. That's exactly what that is. I deserve it. Why? Because I exist. That's why. Now, there's a whole lot more to it. And we're going to see some of that here in this. It's a wonderful example. Now, in this, in Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34, is the story of blind men that got healed. Now, this same story is recorded in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, and Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Now, Mark and Luke record it differently than the way Matthew records it, but it's the same story. It's just being described from three different angles, okay? Now, what I'm going to do is read to you the Matthew, Mark, and Luke combined version of this story. Now, you follow along in Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34, and as you do, you're going to hear me say things that aren't in this passage in Matthew, but you'll find it over in Mark and Luke. So you just stick here with Matthew, just to keep it simple, and I'll read this to you. And as they departed from Jericho, he, and speaking of Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, and behold, two blind men, one of them, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sitting by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. When they heard that Jesus passed by, he cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, Jesus, O Lord, thou son of David. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. The multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But he cried so much the more a great deal, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. They cried the more, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and called them, and commanded him to be brought unto him. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And when he was come near, Jesus answered and said, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, and touched their eyes. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately their eyes received sight, and Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And they followed Jesus in the way, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now that's the sum total of everything recorded in Scripture of that particular incident. Now what was going on? Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover. And what was going to happen once he got to Jerusalem It was going to end up with him being arrested, crucified, and then also, obviously, his resurrection. Well, on the way, he passes through Jericho. And this is the time when he ministered to Zacchaeus. So on the way, he passing through Jericho, and as he's leaving Jericho, he encountered these two blind men. Now, when the blind men heard that it was Jesus, they began crying out to him. Now, back in those days, the custom was, as a rabbi was going from point A to point B, and it could be point A in the city to point B in the city, or it could be from one city to the next, that the people who liked this rabbi would follow along with him, would be traveling with him, this big group of people all walking together. And in Jesus' case, sometimes there were religious leaders, they didn't like Jesus, they just traveled along to try to find a way to criticize him, to ridicule him, so on and so forth. Well, anyway, the deal was that as the rabbi is walking and this crowd is following along with him, that he would be teaching as he walked. Well, here are these two blind men. Now, they can't see this. They can't see this crowd coming, but they can hear this group, big group of people coming in their direction. Well, they've heard wagons, and they've heard horses, and they've heard camels, and other animals and so forth, and they've heard people. But this was different. This was a totally different situation. And so they realize, okay, there's something going on here, and apparently there's somebody important in this group, just based on what we're hearing. And so they ask, well, you know, who is this? Who's going on? Who's going by here? And some people said, well, it's Jesus of Nazareth. As soon as they heard that, their ears perked up. And they start crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Jesus. All right, these people, they're trying to hear Jesus teach. And these guys are interrupting the teaching. And so they turn to the, would you please shut up? Look, we want to hear what the Lord has to say. We're not concerned about your need. We want to hear from the Lord. Now, that'll preach. Well, anyway, they kept yelling, and they got louder. And the people are getting frustrated. And the thing is, these guys weren't going to shut up. They had a need, and they weren't giving up. And so, finally, it reaches the ears of Jesus. And to me, one of the most powerful statements in Scripture, and Jesus stood still. In other words, here Jesus, he's going from Jericho to Jerusalem. And he knows what's going to happen when he gets there. So he's on his way. He's on his way. And he's teaching. And who knows what he was teaching. And the people are listening. But then this, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Jesus. Out of all the group, out of all these people, he hears something in what they're saying. And he stops. And he turns over. And he looks at them. They don't know. They're blind. They can't see. But they can tell something's happened because people aren't moving. They've all stopped. Jesus! Son of David! Now, in their mind, they're thinking, is he looking at us? Why did everybody stop? And so Jesus, he looks over at them and he begins speaking. And he says, bring them here. And so they come over to him. Now they hear his voice, okay? But they need somebody to help them get right to him. Because remember, they're blind. And we know the rest of the story. Jesus says, what would you like me to do? And they said, we want to receive our sight. And Jesus says, okay, receive your sight. You and I both know, everybody in that crowd, they are watching with great interest. And I don't know what the problem was with these blind men. Now, I know they're blind, but I don't know the cause of the blindness. Were their eyes all foggy? Were they missing eyeballs? I mean, I don't know. But I do know this. Their eyes were opened. And you and I both know what happened next. Those guys cut loose. I mean, they're whooping and hollering and all this other. And it says that they followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. From that moment, I don't know what Jesus had been teaching, but I can tell you what, the subject matter changed from that moment on. Jesus, how'd you do that? Jesus, tell us more. Jesus, and I promise you, those blind guys, one's on the left and one's on the right of Jesus. We're not going anywhere away from him. You know, he's now our BFF, all right? We are with Jesus. And can you imagine all those people that were saying, shut up, shut up, hold your peace. Can you imagine? They're probably pulling you. That wasn't me, Jesus. I mean, that was them over there. I've been praying for those guys, all right, Jesus? I was hoping you'd stop. You demand. But now think about this. Jesus was in motion with all these people. Why did he stop? Because they were calling out to him. Now here's a question. Why were they calling out to Jesus? They're blind. Now I'm going to show you something. You can keep a finger here in Matthew 20 if you want, but turn over to Matthew chapter 9. You see, the first thing that they did in order to receive their sight, the first thing they did was believe. That's it, the first thing. They believed. If they hadn't believed Jesus could meet their need, they would not have cried out. Okay, now what was it that got them to the point of believing that Jesus could heal them? Well, let's take a look here. In Matthew 9, chapter 1, it says, and he, Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Now, you don't have to turn to this, but in Mark chapter 2, it lets us know that this city was Capernaum. So we pick this whole event up in verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, had touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but asleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Now look here. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. But that's not all. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. So then, what do you think it was that inspired these two blind men sitting outside Jericho to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us? You think maybe they heard the stories? Do you think it's possible that these two blind men here came in contact with the two blind men sitting outside Jericho, and they said, Guys, let us tell you something. We were blind. We were just like you. We were blind, but we've got our vision now. And so the two Jericho blind men are asking them, How'd you get your vision? How did you go from being blind to being able to see? And they said, Let us tell you what happened. There was this guy, Jesus. And we had heard he raised some people from the dead. And so we heard where he was, and we were able to get to where he was. And we even got in the house where he was. And we said, you know, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Because, guys, listen, the only person who could do that would be the Son of David. So we said, you know, Thou Son of David, you know, have mercy on us. And he asked if we believed that he could do this. And we told him, yeah. And you know what? He said, according to your faith be it unto you. And boom, right then, we got our vision. We got our vision. Now, guys, listen. If Jesus ever passes this way, you cry out. Just do what we did. Jesus, Thou Son of David. And I'm telling you, you'll get your sight. See, I believe it's very possible that's exactly what happened. Because this story is almost identical to this other story. And yet it's not happening in the same place. So, here these blind guys, they hear this. And they've heard the stories of what Jesus has done. You know, they may have heard about the lame walking and the deaf hearing and demons cast out and, you know, the maimed made whole and so on and so forth. But I'm telling you, they must have heard this testimony somewhere along the line. Because they said exactly the same thing as these blind guys. Now, once they heard about all these stories and what Jesus did, I can pretty well guarantee you they started praying, Oh God, please send Jesus in our direction. Oh God, please, just once, let him come by us. Because if he does, we'll get healed. Well, I don't know all the mechanics of this. What I know though is that Jesus, he's walking out of Jericho, and there they are, and they're asking, okay, what's up? What's going on? You know, who is this? What's happening here? Oh, shut up, old blind man. It's Jesus of Nazareth. And I can just see the one blind guy saying, elbowing the other one. He's here. He's here. God heard us. He's here. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd's telling them to shut up. And they're thinking, there ain't no way. Not after what we've heard of what Jesus can do. There is no way. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus says, I've heard that before. And he stops. And these guys, now keep in mind, they were convinced that he could do the same for them that he had done for everybody else. But remember, they are blind. They have never seen Jesus. They don't know what he looks like. Is he short, tall, skinny, fat? We don't know. They've never seen Jesus. And they'd never, ever witnessed a healing or a miracle. They'd never seen any of that. But what happened? They believed based upon the testimonies they heard. You understand this? They believed based on the testimonies they heard, the stories about Jesus. Who knows how many people they heard talk about, Jesus healed me of this, Jesus healed me of that. But being blind, they sure couldn't read the Law and the Prophets. So here they are. And they hear the stories. And they know Jesus can do this for us. And sure enough, Jesus shows up. And they stop the whole thing. And Jesus, he heard them. And he ministered to them. He responded to them. And think about this. That's what you would call the ultimate blind faith. You ever heard that term before, blind faith? That's believing even though you can't see anything. And so, they believed based on what they heard, not based on what they had seen. And we have to come to the place, for us, to where we believe the testimonies of Scripture above the testimonies of the people around us. You say, why is that? Because the testimonies of the people around us are great, but the testimonies from the Word of God are greater. Because, see, it's possible in our lives we'll never meet anybody that's ever received a healing from God. We'll never meet anybody who's received a miracle. So we can't live by what we've heard from each other. But what we can do is live by what we've seen in the Word of God. These blind men, in this story that we're reading about, these blind men, you know what they're doing? They're testifying to us today, here's what Jesus can do for you. Here's what God can do for you. The lady with the issue of blood, she's testifying to us today, here's what God can do. Every person in Scripture that's been healed, even Lazarus raised from the dead, he's testifying to us. This is what God can do for you. And we have to come to the place of believing those testimonies. We've never seen Jesus. We're like those blind men in that we've never seen Jesus. We conjure up ideas of what he looks like, and people, they say, oh, I had a vision and I saw Jesus. Okay, well, praise God. I'm glad for that. But I've never seen him. Now, I'm sure if you walked in, we'd be quick to recognize, you know, because of the halo that he's got. Haven't you seen the paintings? We'd be quick to recognize. I don't have any doubt whatsoever. He walks in here. We say, yep, you're Jesus. But even though we haven't seen him, we have the testimonies in the Word of God. And that is all we need. Like those blind men, we have to believe these testimonies. And for us, these testimonies are recorded in Scripture. Well, what else did these guys do? These two blind men. To receive from him, what did they do? They confessed Jesus for who he is. For one thing, they confessed Jesus as the one who could touch them with the mercy of God. You see, the moment you start thinking in terms of, you know, well, why God, why won't he, and why hasn't he? And what you're really saying is, he's not the God of mercy that I think. But when we come to the place of, let me just say it like this, God, regardless of how bad it hurts, you are still the God of mercy. And my pain will not tell me differently. You get that? You are still the God of mercy. And Jesus is still the Jesus who extends the mercy of God to every single one of us. But along with this, they confessed him as Lord. Not just, you know, Lord the boss, Lord the manager, but as the Lord. See, by using the word Lord with that phrase, Son of David, they were declaring him to be Christ the Lord. Jesus, Lord, Son of David. Because see that phrase, Son of David, to the Jews, that phrase was used in reference to the Messiah, the Christ. And with the word, the phrase Son of David being used in reference to the Messiah, the anointed Christ, the Son of God, to the Jews, this also meant that he was the promise of God. He was the deliverer. He was the healer. He was the king. He was the everything. And even though so many of the religious leaders of that time flat out did not believe who Jesus was, they did not believe that what he was doing was of God, the fact remains these blind men had his identity settled in their hearts. And it didn't matter. There could have been 50 Pharisees in that crowd that day not believing anything of Jesus, just there to criticize, just there to try and tear Jesus down, there to try to destroy his reputation. But these guys, they had it settled. They, in fact, back in those days, there were teachings among the Jews that if you've got some kind of a physical something like blindness, God did it to you because you're a big bad sinner. And here they are. They stopped believing that. And they believed the testimonies of what Jesus did. And so here they are. They're calling out to him. They had his identity settled in their hearts. And the thing is, Jesus has never changed to this day. You know, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He's still Jesus, Messiah, Christ, Deliverer, Son of God, King, Healer, Peace Giver. I mean, he's still all of that. But see, we've got to get his identity settled down on the inside of us, or we're not going to believe that we can receive from him all these things he's promised to give us. We've got to believe he's not just like you and me, getting mad at somebody and I ain't talking to you. No, I'm going to unfriend you. Jesus never unfriends anybody. Okay, you understand what I mean by that. He doesn't do Facebook either, so. But he reads it. He knows what. He knows what you post. We have to get his identity settled in us. He is who he says he is. And he will do what he's promised he will do. What else did these two blind men do in order to receive their vision, their sight, their miracle? They ignored those who would discourage them. When people told them to hush up, when people told them be quiet, when people told them, we don't care how many dead people Jesus has raised. We don't care how many sick people he's healed. We don't care how many lame people are walking. And we don't care how many other blind people he has given sight to. We're trying to listen to him. So hush up and leave us alone. Excuse me? But that's what they were doing. I mean, think about this. If everybody in that crowd was convinced that Jesus was here to do such things, don't you think they would have stopped and said, Jesus, hold on. There's a couple of blind guys over here. They need their sight. Nobody did that until Jesus stops and says, bring them to me. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's concerned. Hey, he wants you. Come on, buddy. Come on. Let me take you to Jesus. You know what? I've really been concerned about you. Last night I was praying for you. Oh, yeah. See what I'm getting at? Those people, they really weren't as concerned as what it seemed like until Jesus starts paying attention. Isn't it interesting how, well, let's just say, maybe sometimes we're not as concerned about other people as God until it seems like God's really paying attention to those people. Yeah. But see, they ignored those who would discourage them. They completely ignored them. You know, you people, you can all say what you want, but Jesus is here. And we're going to keep crying out until something happens. And praise God. You know what? I'm glad they didn't shut up. They could have. They could have just stopped crying out, but they didn't. And I didn't. And I'm glad they didn't. You see, today, there are churches that are going to tell you, you know, well, Jesus doesn't heal today. They're going to tell you he doesn't do this stuff today. Here you are crying out, and you need, now I know we're focusing on healing, but it could be anything that you need. And here you are, you know, you're crying out, and then people are telling you, people like that crowd, telling you to hush up, because he didn't do that stuff today. Jesus doesn't move like that anymore. You know, you've got Christians that will tell you all this faith and confession stuff doesn't work. Those guys had faith, and those guys were confessing. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us, because they believed he could give them sight. They didn't buy into what the religious crowd was saying to them. And then, you know, you've got Christians, they're going to talk about what God hasn't done for them. Well, you know, I just been believing God for so long. I don't know why he hadn't done anything for me. Oh, I believe him and I trust him. I'm walking in faith, but, you know, I've been where you are, and I'm still there. You don't need people like that around you. And see, you can separate yourself from those kind of churches. You can separate yourself from those kind of Christians. But you know the one thing you can't do is separate yourself from your own body. And your body is going to be telling you, God ain't done nothing for you because I still hurt. I still got pain. I'm still, well, whatever it is. Or your checkbook. There still ain't no money in the account. And your body is going to continue to testify to you about what God hasn't done. So you can get away from all the naysayers. You can get away from all the people that don't believe. You can get away from all that stuff. But when you go home and you climb into bed at night, you know what? Your aching, hurting, whatever body is there in bed with you. And it's telling you, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Well, you know what? You have to, all of us, we have to come to this place of ignoring every source that is mocking the promises of God. And that includes our own body. Oh, we don't ignore stuff that goes on in our body. And don't twist this to think I'm saying don't go to the doctor. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we cannot let the voices of others and the voice of our own body convince us Jesus is not the same today, yesterday, and forever. We can't let that happen. We absolutely must, now listen to this, we absolutely must refuse to speak in agreement with what our body is telling us. You can't do that. I mean, these guys, they acknowledged they were blind, but they're focusing on Jesus because they knew that Jesus could deliver them, knew that he could heal them. And see, when we come to the place of truly understanding the way these blind guys did, you know, we're not going to keep exalting the physical conditions. We're not going to keep talking about it. We're not going to keep, you know, well, you know, it still hurts. Well, I'm still believing. Well, I tell you what, it just isn't. And I just can't. I'm telling you every night about this time. Every night about this time. You know what? You're going to be like that the rest of your life. Because unlike those blind men, your physical stuff is telling you to shut up. And so you're going to sit there by the wayside and you're going to stop naming the name of Jesus, and you're going to start naming the name of whatever physical thing you're dealing with. And you're just going to keep calling it. Why do that? See, we've got to get past that. Those blind guys. Yeah, we know we're blind, but you know what? There's Jesus. We can't see him, but we know he's here. We can't see him, but we know what he's done for other people. So Jesus, Messiah, Christ, Son of David, Savior of the world, healer, deliverer, peace giver, we want our sight. He said, guys, you've got my attention big time. You've got my attention more than this crowd. and say, you know what? For the next couple of minutes, fellas, it's just the two of you and me. And we're going to fix this. And sure enough, that's what happened. Praise God. Listen, it wasn't their blindness that caught Jesus' attention. It was their faith.
Yes.
Yes. It was their faith. Their tithes and their offerings were not what opened the windows of heaven. It was their faith. And you know what? Their faith, that faith they had, it was steadfast, it was unwavering, it was naysayer, ignoring faith. If we're going to receive the way these guys did, we have to be like these guys. And by the way, they weren't born again. So here we are with the life of God on the inside of us. And I'm guessing all of us in here filled the Holy Spirit. We have the potential. In fact, right now, we are spiritually beyond where those blind guys were. But yet, look at the example they've given us. We have to have blind faith in order to receive visible results. We have to follow this example of these guys. And what a testimony it is. That's just another two people we get to meet when we make it to heaven. Glory to God. I want to see these blind guys. Oh, they're probably feisty. There'll be an angel say, oh, that's them over there. And you say, yeah, I want to talk to these guys. You know, hey, blind fellas. And they'll probably say, what? Who's there from today? I'm just joking, yeah. We can still see. Folks, we've got to take this all to heart. We absolutely must believe the testimonies of Scripture above the testimonies of other people. We don't dismiss the testimonies of other people, but the testimonies in the Word of God have to take the priority. We have to come to that place of being absolutely convinced of who Jesus is on a day-to-day basis. And then we have to ignore everything and everyone who would discourage us and tell us to hush up. We have to keep crying out in faith, receiving what He's promised. And it will happen. Our faith is what enables us to receive what God has promised. We're born again, we're qualified, but that faith is what receives it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.